Sunday night services for 8 months of the year are different from what we've had for so many years, and that is we're really trying to make a concerted effort to do the very thing that the Lord had in mind whenever He said, here's the new covenant and here's the nature of it. I will write My laws in their minds and put them in their hearts. And there are two parts to that. One part is a recognition of the laws of God and putting them in our minds. That's memorization. I don't know how you can put it in somebody's mind without a memorizing of it, at least for it to stay in there. And then the other part is to take those laws that are in our mind and put them in our hearts. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is. That's where you'll change your life. There are three things that are involved. One is your mind, the second one is your heart, and the third one is your life. And this is God's design for that. I will put My laws in their minds, write them on their hearts. And then obviously, as we think in our hearts, that's the very way that we are. In the very nature of the study, as we've been talking about in the Soldiers of Christ program, which is the name of this program, the very nature of it is to try to go back and to look at some of these things and to enable us to memorize them. Now, when we started the program last year, we spent a lot of Sunday nights reviewing some of that. And yet, we decided this year to do a whole lot less review than we have been doing, with the hope that you'd go ahead and spend some time with those cards that we have that have the Bible questions on them. But it seems like it would be an excellent time tonight, as we come now near the end of that Soldiers of Christ program until January. We'll be ending it likely next Sunday night. As we come to the end of that, for us to spend some time reviewing some of these matters. Because you see, David asked the question in Psalm 119, verse 9 to 11, how on earth am I going to live a good life? And he answers this as he says, with my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from your commandments. But to stay straight, we got to know what those commandments are. And then this statement, your word have I hid in my heart. And so there are the commandments that we know, and we're conscious of what the Bible says, and then we put these things in our hearts that we might not sin against God. And so that's really the design of it. And so I want us tonight to review two of the sections of the five books of poetry. First, let's review the book of Job. Let me ask you this in your own mind, and you might want to take out one of the cards that are there in front of you and see how many of the answers you know to this. These questions that we'll look at from the book of Job will first appear on the screen. Go ahead and put them on the screen if you would. If I ask you to name the five books of poetry, would you be able to do that? If we know that there's the books of Moses, the five books of Moses, and we've studied those. We've studied much of the 12 books of history, but that third division of the Old Testament are the poetical books. Can you, if I tell you it begins with Job, could you name the five books of poetry? Then if I ask you, what is the book of Job all about? Would you be able to write down an answer to that? As if you know the story of Job, could you tell me why this book of Job is there in the Bible? And then obvious, and here's the easier question, and that is, who is that man of patience in the book of Job? And what was his wife's response whenever the adversity came to Job? And what about those boils that Job had? Do you remember where they were? Do you remember two parts of the body that are specifically mentioned as being the place that he had those sores on him? Would you be able to do that? And then would you be able to recall from memory, though he slay me, yet will I, and can you fill in that blank that follows after that? And then who is that individual who spoke to Job after all of his suffering? And what was given by God to Job after he suffered? How'd you do? You feel like you have an understanding of the book of Job, and that's really the design of tonight's lesson. And we're not going to talk about some things that we have not already talked about before. But as we look at that design, can you name the five books of poetry? Let's name them together. Can we do that? Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. We did rather good with that. I'll give you an A on that. It's when we get to those minor prophets that we'll really have some fun trying to name those minor prophets. But here are those books. What does the book of Job tell about? Now, you can think about, there are several ways to say that. We've given the common answer that's on the card that I think sort of sums up what the book of Job is all about. The book of Job is about the suffering of a man named Job. That's not hard to remember, and we're going to hasten and get through the book of Job because there's a whole lot more that we need to study from the book of Psalms, and that's the part we'll not be nearly as familiar with and want to spend some time looking at that. But who is that man of patience? I hope that you know who the man of patience, and I don't know, is Harrison here tonight, Holly? Is that, who is that man? Harrison? Harrison. Oh, well, somebody wake up Cam too, all right, while you're trying to wake him up, all right? I love when Harrison walks around this building and I walk up to him and I say, Harrison, who is that man of the man of patience? And if you don't know that, you need to check with Harrison. The man of patience is Job. The response that Job gave to the suffering that he was having in his life, if I tell you it starts with the word curse, could you get the rest of it? Curse God and die. Man, you're talking about somebody that had lost her faith. She lost it, if she ever had it in the beginning. What about the location of the soils that Satan was allowed to place upon Job's body? From the top of his head to the sole of his foot. That's the suffering this man had, in addition to all the material losses that he had and the emotional loss that he had when 10 of his children were taken from him. What did Job say? Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You got that? You have that written, not just in your head, you have that written in your heart. You see, you and I need to understand there will be those times in our lives when our world flips upside down and there's no answer. As far as we know, Job never read the book of Job. I mean, he may have, but as far as we know, Job never read the book of Job. Job may never have ever figured out those things that you and I readily know. We understand some things about Satan working in his life and what Satan was trying to accomplish in his life. But you and I need to have written, and not just written in our head, but that's where it begins. And if you don't know this verse, I'd encourage you to memorize it. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What a great, great thing to know in our minds and to put it in our hearts. I believe that's it. No, who spoke to Job after his suffering? Well, I hope you know who was there. First, it was his friends, and then there was the fourth friend, and then finally, at the end of it, and we're really asking the question at the end of the book, who speaks to Job? And of course, the answer to that is God. And what was given by God to Job after his suffering? Twice of what he had before. Twice of what he had before. And I'm not sure who it was in a Sunday night comment made to me after I mentioned Job and about his wife and what, you know, how she sort of got away with everything, and somebody said no, she had to have 10 more children, and so that may have been the way God punished her in relationship to that. Now let's get to Psalms. How much you know about Psalms? Well, here are the questions that are on the prophet card, and by the way, that's the only questions that we have. You know, there are three levels, and visitors, you may not be aware of the fact that there's a prophet level that we consider an entry level into knowing Job and Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. And all of these from that entry level, we call that the prophet level, and then those of you who regularly come on Sunday night have that next level up, and we'd strongly urge you to not just stagnate and say, well, I already knew all of that, but to push yourself, to write more things on your heart, or write them in your mind so that you can put them in your life. And that's the prophet, that's the priest. And then finally, that third level, and that is the king level. But here's the entry level into the book of Psalms. If you know the book of Psalms, I think you need to know what the book of Psalms contains. Why is it called Psalms? And who's the author of most of the Psalms? And here's one that you may not know, and that is the meaning of hallelujah. We say that, we sing that, but are you aware what that means whenever we sing a hallelujah, praise Jehovah? Do you know what you're saying? And that word appears in the translated form several times in the book of Psalms. What about the shortest psalm? You know which one of the psalms that is? What about the longest psalm? I hope you know where that one is. What about this one? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Don't you think every Christian ought to know where that is in the Bible? You're trying to convert somebody and trying to talk to somebody about their life and about their soul. Don't you think it'd be good if you memorized and put in your head where that is found, so that in a discussion you'd be able to say to somebody, you don't believe there's a God? Well, and then make the argumentation that there's no speech or language where their voice is not heard, and to know where that is. And I've found in studying with others, there's power to get them to read a verse in the Bible. Let them read it out loud to themselves. You need to know what psalm that is. What about the psalm that is there that describes His crucifixion? My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? The psalm that talks about the fact that not a bone would be broken. The psalm that talks about people mocking Him. You know which psalm that is? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you knew that where that psalm was enough so that some Sunday morning while you're having a communion, you could open up and read that psalm written 1,000 years before Jesus ever came that described all of the suffering that Jesus... What do you think about during the Lord's Supper? Do you stagnate or just say, well, I try to always just think about the body and about the blood of Jesus, and that, you know, that gets sort of old. Well, I hope it doesn't. What about a change of reading a psalm that talks about the crucifixion of Jesus? You know this one, do you not? The Lord is my shepherd. I hope that all of us would know where that one is. What about the psalm that mentions the Bible, that exalts the Bible? In fact, out of 176 verses in that psalm, that might help you to know which psalm that is, that in almost every single verse, the Word of God is exalted. What about this one? Here's a quotation. God is angry with the wicked. You know the rest of that one? It'd be good if you knew it. Sometimes we lose sight of the truth that's found in that. What about this one? The fool is set in his heart. I think you hope that you will know this one. And here's one that we sing a lot, and that is, I will call upon the Lord. All right, and we'll talk about what the rest of that is. Let's look at another set of things from the book of Psalms, as we've talked about. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Here's David, a man after God's own heart. And here's a prayer that David prayed. Can you finish this prayer? Have you memorized this? Do you have it in your head so you put it in your heart that it might be in your life? What about this one? Worship the Lord in the beauty of, and we say that a lot here, and I'd be disappointed if you didn't know that as often as that's spoken of. What is that prophecy made about the bones of Jesus? There's a prophecy in the book of Psalms that something about the bones of Jesus that's quoted in the New Testament. Be still and know, David said. What? You know, stop and know this. What about this one that says, wash me and I shall be? Can you finish that one? Have you written that in your head? Is this exercise we're going through an indication of the fact that maybe we've not spent enough time over the last few weeks as we've looked at the book of Psalms trying to find these truths and write them on our hearts? And you need to find the ones that you need in your life, not just arbitrarily for David and Dan to pick out, you know, here's some great verses, though we spent a lot of time trying to find the verses we thought would help people the most. But you need to find your verses and memorize those verses so you can think about them in your life. How often did David pray? I hope you know that one. This is one that I've used many times in my life. What time I am afraid. You know that one? I hope that you know that one, because there'll be times of fear in your life. And this one, from everlasting to everlasting, What's the rest of it? It's a description of God from everlasting to everlasting. You who love the Lord. And the opposite of the word love is what? And if you know the opposite of love, you'll be able to fill in the blanks in the relationship. How far has God removed our sins from us? Do you know that? Do you know how the Bible describes that, at least in the book of Psalms? This is the day the Lord has made. We will. Aren't you glad we sing some of the Psalms? And thank you, David, for singing from Psalm 139, "Create in me a clean heart." Because that helps us in relationship to this. And here's another one. This is the day the Lord has made. "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might..." I hope you know that one. That was a verse that we introduced way back on. "Oh, how love I the law, thy law. It is my..." I hope you know that one too. "Your word is a lamp unto my feet, and I was glad when they said to me, I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and..." You got the answer? "Set a guard, O Lord, over my..." "Let everything that hath breath..." Now let's look at the answers. Look at these and see if these are not some of the things that you need to place in your own heart. The book of Psalms contains what? Well, it contains the songs and the poems of the Jews. Now, you can say that in other words and everything, but when you think about what's this book of Psalms all about? It's the poetry of the people. It's the songs and the poems of the Jewish people. And remember, David writing the most of these, and that's the next question. The author of most of the Psalms is David. David writing most of these, well, they're manifestation of the heart of David. That's what poetry is. It's not his history. It's the emotions expressed in words. And here I have 150 chapters in the Bible, most of them written by David. And I can look at the heart of David, and when those words in Psalms become my words, then I have a heart like David did. But folks, it won't happen until we first put it in our brains. "I will write my law on their minds and put it in their hearts." And the whole design of this Sunday night program is not to try to help us just come up and know a bunch of facts about the Bible. We're as far removed from that as we can be. But the change in your heart begins with an understanding and of a knowledge of some of these things. For example, the word hallelujah. What does it mean? Hallelujah means praise the Lord. And all the way through, whenever we're singing, the songs that have the word hallelujah, you need to understand it simply means praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. What's the shortest psalm? And I'm not sure exactly why that's important for us to remember. I think it's important for us to remember the longest psalm because of the content of it. And maybe the shortest psalm we need just to know so if we're real sleepy and we're going to bed and want to read a chapter of the Bible before we go. No, I shouldn't have said that. The shortest psalm is short by its very nature. Isn't that amazing? God authored the Psalms. And Psalms is the only book in the Bible where God makes the chapter divisions. What is there about Psalms 117 that is so important that the Lord in two or three verses could say that much? Would that be a good thing to think about, to read, and a good area to meditate? The longest Psalm, what's that all about? Well, I think we know that one. And by the way, that is the one that has the Word of God and exalts the Word of God in 170 plus verses out of the 176 verses that are there. Here's one that we talked about a moment ago, and that is, what psalm is there that talks about the heavens declare the glory of God? I really hope you know that in your heart. That is not some intellectual thing. Well, the heavens declare the glory of God. I hope that's in your life and that you never walk out and see that crescent moon that we had this past week. Did you see it? And when you saw it, did you think about God is amazing? I just stood there in awe and tried to figure out in my little tiny brain how it gets that light on the bottom half. I mean, Jerry Pittman and you guys who understand astronomy, you understand every bit of that. But I stand there trying to think, where on earth is the sun in relationship to that crescent moon? And then I thought, how amazing God is who made the heavens to declare His glory. That psalm, that's Psalm 19. What about the crucifixion psalm? Well, it's Psalms 22, and you might want to keep it in mind, because that is the psalm that is right before the shepherd psalm, and that is Psalms 23. And so we have those two together. The Lord is my shepherd, Psalms 23. The crucifixion psalm, Psalms 22. I would encourage you to memorize as many of these as you can. What about the psalm that exalts the Word of God? In a day and an age in which people have no respect and they don't want to be studying the Bible, and they're mocking those of us who have a love of the Bible and say, well, you ought to get with it. Well, I want to get with it like David was with it, because David loved the Word of God, and Psalm 119 says that. Anybody ever done you wrong and you sort of forgot about it? You thought, man, I hope God takes care of this. God is angry with the wicked every day. And because of that, somebody's done you wrong, you can go ahead and pray for them and bless them, and you don't have to deal with your anger. You let God take care of the anger, because on the day of judgment, He'll be just as angry as you were at the moment that you were the angriest, assuming you were not sinfully angry. When you were hurt the most and upset the most, God is that angry as with that person every day as you were the day that person did it to you. You don't have to live a life that where you just have to just keep feeding the fires to stay angry at something. God is angry with the wicked every day. The fool has said in his heart, and here's one I think everyone's verbalized before, and that is, there is no God. You look at the heavens that declare His glory, and the fool has said in his heart, there is no glory. Here's the one we sing, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Now, when you sing that song, do you think about the words of it? God is worthy of our praise. And I'm going to call upon the Lord because He is worthy. I thought last Sunday morning, our worship of God last Sunday morning was so uplifting. And I hope that you were uplifted. And David McLeod, I don't know if you're here tonight, but I want to thank you for the job you did in leading singing this morning and carrying us before the very throne of God and having that great uplifting time together. Folks, I want to encourage you when you come here and we're singing, think about the words of that song. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And whenever we're come together, that's the kind of heart that we need to have. God is worthy to be praised. Here's a song that we used to sing. It's still in our book. I doubt that we've ever sung it in this building. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. By the way, that's in Psalm 19, by the way. Just keep that in mind. Then what about this one? Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And the way we've talked about that several times is a holy God worshiped by holy people in a holy way. And there's nothing more beautiful than that. The beauty of holiness. The Lord is my shepherd psalm. Where is that? Well, I hope you know Psalms 23. What about the psalm that exalts the Word of God? Is that Psalms 119? And finally get down to that last one, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In case you didn't figure it out, I lost my place. All right, go to the next set of slides. The prophecy made about the bones of Jesus, where's that found? Or what was that prophecy? It's obviously found in Psalms 22, that crucifixion psalm, that not a bone would be broken. Not a bone would be broken. I think I'd not been preaching all that long until I was preaching at Harvest, Alabama, and I talked about the very crucifixion of Jesus. And I said they hanged him on the cross, and they lifted him up, and you can just hear the bones breaking as they lifted him up. I still appreciate Brother Drake. And why would I even remember the man's name? Because of the gentleness with which he said, "Dan, you might ought to study more before you preach." And no bones were broken, and that is what that prophecy is all about. Here's one. Be still and know that I'm God. You want to write that on your heart? You want to put that in your mind? You want to memorize that? And whenever the world flips upside down, just stop and recognize God is God. Be still and know that I am God. The next one I'm sure I think we'll get, wash me and I shall be whiter than, and I know you've got it, if I get that far. How often did David pray? Evening and morning and noon, and I know that's backwards from the way you and I would say it, but that's the way it is in the Psalms. And so, you know, their day started in the evening, and so they had it in the right order in the Jewish mind. Let me ask you this. That's how often David prayed. How often do you pray? And if a man after God's own heart felt the need to pray that all, how much do you pray? There's a real lesson to be learned. By the way, there's another character in the Bible who prayed three times a day, and that's Daniel, but to be aware of that. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in You. You've heard me mention several times Brother Franklin Camp, and as he was facing open heart surgery, he said, "Dan, I kissed my family goodbye and thinking I could die during the surgery. And as they wheeled me out of the room on that gurney, and as they carried me down to the elevator, to the operating room, and when I woke up in the recovery room with tubes running all out of my body in various places, the thing that I kept saying over and over again, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee." And he said, "I never had a moment's anxiety as I left the room facing possible death." That's one you ought to memorize. What time I'm afraid, I will trust. From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. We live in a thing called time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, what was before the beginning? Eternity, everlasting. From that everlasting to the time when this earth ends and time is no more, what's on the other side? Everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting, You are God. And then look at the next one that says, "You who love the Lord, hate that which is evil." How far has God removed our sins from us? Well, there are two verses in this, but the one in Psalms has to do with direction as far as the east is from the west. And if you'll just leave this building and go east, get you in a jet plane and fly east, and whenever you get so you cannot fly east anymore, when you've been around the earth so many times and you're still flying east, and as far as you know, in infinity, you'd still be flying east. That's how far God's removed our sins from us, as far as the east is from the west. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I love singing that, particularly on a Sunday morning. And though He made Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, it just seems to set a tone for worship. This is the day the Lord has made. It's the day He was raised from the dead. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against You. Oh, how love I Thy law. It's my meditation all the day. Folks, what we're trying to do is to memorize the Bible. And then after you've put it in your mind, then sit around and think about it. That's how you get it from your mind into your heart. Now, it's my meditation all the day. And this is one I think that we'll know. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Here's one about worship. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go up to the house of the Lord." And here's one, so you another important psalm, but it's just not on the prophet card, and that's Psalms 139. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalms 139 talks about David being in the mind of God and God knowing David when he was inside the womb. Don't you think it would be good in this day of abortion and the prevalence of abortion that you know Psalms 139 so that if somebody's asking you and they're discussing the matter of abortion, that you could say to them, don't you know there's a verse in the Bible that said God knew David in the womb? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. And then the final thing from the book of Psalms says, let everything that has breath, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And that's us. We've not spent much time reviewing, but we decided tonight we would take time to just go back and refresh some things that we studied several weeks ago. Now, if there's some of these things that you think, you know, I need to know that, then will you not take the time and the effort to memorize that and make that a part of your heart, so it can be a part of your life? David, I love what you said about the invitation song, Pierce My Ear. Here's that individual who was a slave, and his master was so wonderful. You see, whenever the high priest died, the slaves could be released. Jewish slaves could. But if a man had a master who was taking such wonderful care of him, he could go to his master and said, I don't want to get out in this world. I'm happy where I am. Pierce my ear so that the whole world can know that I belong to you. You feel that way about the Lord? Is that the attitude you have to the Lord, that you would say to the Lord, Lord, take me to your door this day because I want to be your servant forever and ever? Now, the things that are involved in God's plan of salvation, we'll put them on the screen. It's faith in Jesus. Repentance, which it means you make up your mind, I'm going to follow Him. Except you repent, you'll perish, Luke 13:3 says. And when you've confessed your faith in Jesus, He says, you confess me before men and I'll confess you before the Father. Then you can be baptized into Christ, into a relationship with Christ. You're in the world until you're baptized, and then you're in Christ. And the fourth step that puts us into Christ is being baptized into Him. And then because we're in Christ, we're in His body, we're in His kingdom, we're in His church, we're in His family. And He says to those of us who are His children, you be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Where are you tonight? Are there changes you need to make that we could help you in your life make? If we can help you in any way get right with the Lord, won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now? As together we stand and sing. Will you come?